Well, good evening. How are y'all this evening? Well, that's good. Me too. Praise the Lord. Welcome those of you online also. If you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing, I Exalt Thee.
For Thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Amen.
Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine, fill the land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow, flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Lord, I come to your awesome presence, from the shadows into your radiance. By the blood I may enter your brightness. Search me, try me, consume all my darkness. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. As we gaze on your kingly brightness, so our faces display your likeness, ever changing from glory to glory. Mirrored here, may our lives tell your story. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light.
Amen. Anybody got a pick of him this evening? 56 already. To God be the glory.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
No perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer, the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Amen. Any others? No, going once, going twice. All right. Praise the Lord.
Song. Was that the one that he was singing real high? Yeah, too high, brother. You need to bring that thing down on Sunday morning. Yeah. Yeah, you only have the women singing with you next Sunday morning. You got to bring that sucker down. I can't sing that high. I cannot. Oh, no. Yeah, ain't no Maroon 5 going up in here. Yeah, ain't no falsetto up in here. No Bee Gees, sister. No, I'm not having it. All right. What praises we got here? Oh, online folks, good to have you. Amen. How many we got online? All right, very good. Outstanding. Way to go. All right, online folks. Good to see you. Got any praises? Anybody praises? Got praise over here, right there. Miss Loopy? How's Robert doing?
Robert's doing good. That's my praise. He came out of surgery. It went really, really well, and he's recuperating at the house, and he's doing really well. So I thank God that he brought us through that.
Amen. So Robert's surgery good. Has he started rehab?
No, he's at home with the rehab. He started official rehab.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And it was what shoulder?
It was the left shoulder.
Left shoulder. Rotator cuff. Oh, we got a little horse stuff in there. All right, man. Way to go. All right. Robert's surgery success. Amen, amen. What else? Other praises? Anybody else? James?
Praise the Lord for our Sunday school classes.
Amen.
You know, to be able to have Sunday school and...
Yes.
And our worship music. I mean, we had a church service. It was great.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for that.
Yeah.
Nobody just... praise the Lord, be able to serve Him.
Amen, peace, brother.
You know, come in here and be able to sit down. There's a lot of people can't do that.
Amen, that's right.
Can't imagine that, you know, because I live in America. So
amen.
I can't really.
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
Got a lot to be thankful for.
Amen.
Any other praises? Right there in the back, what you got, bub?
Sharon Heibarger, praise for...
Are they back home?
Maybe she'll chat. Oh, nope. But she says, praise for a good weekend with family in Galveston.
All right.
All right. Amen.
Yeah, I've been singing that song they put on their Facebook page, Oh Galveston. I've been singing that song all afternoon. Galveston, oh Galveston.
That's old Glenn Campbell there.
That's Glenn Campbell, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good song.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Good time in Galveston with family.
Driving now.
Oh, they're driving home now. Okay, great. All right. What else? Any other praises? All right. Prayer requests. Let me give you what I got, and then you can add to it as we see fit. All right. I got John Davlin with heart issues, maybe some anxiety issues causing his heart issues. So let's continue to pray for John Davlin. Members that are sick and traveling. Of course, Sharon Heibarger, they're on the road with Miss Vicky. We got Ronnie Vaculik still dealing with neuropathy in his feet, kidney stones still needing to pass, John Thornhill down with his back, Ronnie Holman still praying for him for his cancer fight that he's in. Barbara McNew has been in the hospital, I want to say, what, 3 days now maybe? Probably about 3 days, Barbara McNew. And just pray that she'll get her appetite back. Because she is weaker than a cat, and she's going to rehab tomorrow. And I got news for you. They won't rehab you if you ain't eating. So if you got no strength, they're not going to get you up. So anyway, pray that she'll have some kind of appetite, maybe change of scenery, change of location, different cook. You know, hospital food's kind of hit and miss. Maybe she'll get better food at this rehab she's going to. So Barbara McNew, pray for her appetite. Rain. It's like the tap's been turned off again. Going to be 98 this Thursday. You working outside Thursday? Son, hydrate up. Wednesday night, chug you a Gatorade, man. Get it in you Wednesday night. Thursday, fall equinox, going to be 98. The record for fall equinox is 100. We're going to be two off the record. Who knows? Who knows? We may even hit the record. I hope we don't, but we need some rain back up in here. Continue to pray for Ukraine. How about their success? Driving Russian, taking back some territory. Getting some tanks, getting a lot of ammunition and things that the Russians left behind. So good for them. Continue to pray for Ukraine that they could push the aggressor out. Continue to pray for Miss Terry. Pray for her safety and witness for Christ. And pray for Samaritan's Purse, that group that she's with. I want to say she's in her last week. She was over there, going to be over there 6 weeks. I think this coming week's going to be her last week, and she'll start to make the transition next week back home. Okay? So continue to be in prayer for elections in November. Wouldn't it be neat if God gave us a miracle and people on either side of the aisle could look each other in the eye and say, this country means more to me than this political party, and so let's solve some problems. Wouldn't that be great? Hallelujah, man. So let's pray. Hey, he's a big God, right? He could get a hold of that Senate and that House and change some hearts, all right? So elections in November. Continue to pray for the immigration situation. It's awful what's going on. Continue to pray for our shut-ins and those that have unspoken. If you have an unspoken, lift your hand tonight. All right, unspoken. Thank you for that. Anybody else got anything to add to the prayer request before we pray? Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to add a little bit to Ronnie Holman's.
Okay.
He did go to the ER. Nancy took him Friday, thinking that he might have had a blood clot.
Okay.
Thank goodness it was not a blood clot.
Okay.
However, he does have a bacterial infection.
Okay. All right. Cancer and a bacterial infection. So we want to be in prayer for him tonight for sure. All right. What else?
I wanted to pray for my sister Rosemary. So she got some unfortunate news that she has a lump on one of her breasts. And so,
have I met this sister?
Rosemary. She's the one who came.
Okay.
She's come a couple of times with
me.
Mm-hmm. And
she's the older, shorter one.
Yes.
She's the first one who got saved.
Yes, that got me in.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
So she she went in and they looked, and so they did say they're going to have to do a biopsy.
Okay.
So just pray that God would just heal whatever it is.
Amen.
Also, me and Robert will be traveling to my older sister Terry's in Missouri this week. And so just pray for traveling safeties.
Amen. All right. Loopy traveling. Loopy and Robert.
And then also my family on my dad's side.
Okay.
And then my girlfriend Maddie as well and her family.
All right. So we're praying for your dad's family. What's going on there?
Say that one more time.
What's going on with your dad's family?
Oh, nothing. Just my siblings and my dad.
Okay.
Just praying for him. Just pray for him.
Dad's family and then Maddie.
Yes.
All right.
And then we have another friend that got saved recently, same day as me, actually. Her name is Alexis Lawless. Just pray for her as well.
Alexis, new Christian. All right. New Christian. All right, Traveling Mercies. What does your sister do in Missouri?
My oldest sister?
Yeah.
What
did they do?
He's a big real estate company.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. And so they live there, and we're actually trying to get them to move down here, or at least buy another house down here. But
what part of Missouri are they in?
Chesterfield.
Yeah,
it's right outside of St. Louis.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Amen, man. All right. Onward and upward. Anything else? All right. Let's pray. Let's do it. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. We're thankful that we can bear one another's burdens. And before we do, Lord, we're thankful that we can lift these praises up to you. We thank you that you are the great God of healing. You're the God of our salvation. You're the God that provides, takes care of us, Lord, changes things in a matter of just an instant. And so, God, we come into you with hearts full of joy and praise and thankfulness that we are saved tonight, blood-bought, headed for the day of redemption. Lord, we know that our salvation draws nigh. So we praise you and thank you for it, that, Lord, you're coming back. The Word of God says you're coming. And, Lord, we're looking forward to the day that you come back to take us home. Lord, we lift up Miss Loopy's praise to you tonight. We're thankful that Robert's surgery on his left shoulder went well. We pray that would continue to heal up, Lord, and you would have him ready to make that drive with Loopy to Missouri, praying for their traveling mercies as they get ready to go to that. We lift up our Sunday school classes, Lord, and our worship services, and we pray for the school next door. Lord, we're thankful for all of it and how you move and how you bless. And, Lord, we pray in that you might add to us, increase us. Lord, send folks that need a Bible preaching a church, a Jesus-loving church, a friendly church, a welcoming church, Lord. We're lifting that up to you and praying that you might bless us in that way. We lift up Sharon and Chuck, and we're praying for Miss Vicky, and or we're just praying for their traveling mercies coming back home. Watch over them as they're on the road. Just be with them. Lead, guide, and direct them as they get home from Galveston. Thank you for the good trip and the good time of fellowship that they've had away. And, Lord, we just pray you help them get home safe. We lift up Loopy's sister Rosemary, and we pray in for this lump, Lord, and this biopsy upcoming. We pray that it not be cancer. We pray it be benign. But, Lord, if it is, we pray you'd remove it. That, Lord, you'd give her miraculous healing, Lord. You'd touch her body, and you would take this, whatever it is, you would take it from her. Lord, we continue to pray for John Davlin, and we pray for his uncomfortable feeling in his chest, and Lord, thinking he's maybe having a heart attack, or Lord, we just pray that it might be residual from the COVID that he's had, and Lord, we pray that you'd help him get past it. Lord, we pray that you just help him relax and just rest, and just, Lord, turn to you in his time of anxiousness, and Lord, we pray if he does get to the point where he needs to go to the hospital, Lord, that he would do that again. But Lord, we're praying that you would touch his body and bring healing to it. We continue to pray for other members that are sick, Lord, and others that are perhaps out traveling or recovering from homecomings last night and different events up in Magnolia. Lord, we just pray you be with them and keep them safe. We lift up Ronnie to you with his feet. We're praying, Lord, that you would ease that neuropathy and, Lord, you'd take that tingling away. And, Lord, just allow him to rest. Pray that this kidney stone would pass. Lord, just help him in that area. We lift up John Thornhill to you tonight. We're praying for his back. And Lord, he's down in it, not feeling good. And not having Brother John here, that's just a rarity. So we just pray for him tonight. Pray you might touch his body. Ronnie Holman and his cancer fight, Lord, we continue to pray for him. Pray that you might remove that cancer, heal him from that. And Lord, this bacterial infection that he has now, we pray that you might allow the antibiotics to work, do what they're designed to do, and that you just rest his body, help his body get past that so it can continue to fight that cancer. Lord, we could pray for Barbara McNew tonight. We're praying just a prayer, Lord, that her appetite would come back, that she would be able to put on some weight, gain some strength, Lord, go through rehab, and Lord, just help her somehow, some way, get that appetite back. We lift up Barbara McNew to you tonight. Lord, we're praying for rain. We're thankful for the rain that you've sent us. And Lord, now as we experience a little more high pressure and a little less low pressure, we got this heat dome coming and building this coming week. And Lord, we just pray that somehow, some way, you'd break that thing down and that we could get some more rain coming in here sometime. Daytime showers, whatever, Lord. Cold front showers, whatever. A little tropical storm rolling through here. Lord, we just pray you send us the rain. May we get to catch up in the rain. Lord, we're thankful for what's going on in Ukraine and how the Ukrainian people are able to push some of the Russians out of large chunks of territory. And Lord, they've now broken the supply line of the Russian army. And Lord, we pray that you just continue to give them victories, continue to help them push out the aggressor, continue to help them regain the sovereignty of their land. And we pray, Lord, that there would be just a great turning to you in that country as they think about the blessings and the victories that they've had. They still got a lot of casualties they're going to see and a lot of people lose their lives. But, Lord, we just pray that you continue to work through that situation, help them drive the Russian aggressor out. We pray for Miss Terry tonight. And, Lord, we pray that you might help her and keep her safe, Lord, as she is being a witness over there and teaching about trauma over there to different groups of people, doctors and nurses. And so, Lord, we just pray that that would continue. We pray for the Samaritan's Purse team, that you would keep all of them safe, allow all of them to be a witness for Christ. And, Lord, as they get ready to finish out their sixth week, we just pray that you would help them in that transition coming back home. And we just pray in advance for their traveling mercies as they get ready to head this way back to the States. Lord, we got a big election coming up here in November. And, Lord, we're just praying for a shakeup in our government. Lord, this group over here thinks this, and this group over there thinks that. But, Lord, we got a lot of broken stuff in the country. And we need folks that can look each other in the eye and have some kind of a discussion and make some kind of compromise and get some things solved, Lord, especially in the area of immigration. So, Lord, we're praying for a great outpouring of your Spirit come November. And you would put your people who you would have serve in these different House and Senate races, Lord, and governors. And Father God, we just pray that you would just shake the thing up and let the thing work the way it's supposed to work. So, Lord, we're lifting up our government. We're praying for the elections. We're praying for a great miracle there. Lord, as I've mentioned, the immigration situation, we are praying for these children of these parents. Lord, we can't fault these parents for wanting a better life for their kids. And, Lord, I've talked to some about, yeah, well, there's criminals coming in with them. And Lord, that's probably true. But the majority of those people are just trying to find a better way of life. And so, Lord, we pray that this land of immigrants we call America would somehow, some way find a place for these people to live, put them to work, let them pay taxes, and, Lord, just keep on down the road with this thing. So, Lord, Father God, we're praying for that immigration situation and praying for protection for these children, especially these young girls. Lord, watch over them. Shut-ins, Lord, we're lifting them up to you tonight. Lord, we pray that this live stream would be a blessing to them, an encouragement in their lives and in their hearts. And, Lord, may they know that as we keep this live stream going, we miss them, But we love them, and we're so thankful that they can be with us each and every service over the internet. Lord, those that held up their hands tonight for unspokens, we thank you for that. We thank you that they can voice those to you now, silently lifting those up. And Lord, thank you that you hear us. Thank you that you're working in the background. Thank you that you're sovereign. Lord, may we continue to have faith that you're ultimately in control and we're not. We're the ones that bring the request, but Lord, you're the one that works the miracle. So God, we just continue to keep that before you and in front of you. And Lord, we just love you tonight for hearing us one more time. Lord, we lift up family members, and we're praying for little Miss Maddie, God, and we're praying for this new Christian, Alexis. Lord, be with them. Give them wisdom, discernment. Lord, continue to work in their lives, and we just praise you and thank you for what you're doing in their lives, in our lives, and thank you for what you want to do through your word tonight in touching us as we look at it one more time. Get the privilege and the opportunity to do that, Lord. We praise you and thank you for it. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said. All right, very good. You guys can take a copy of God's Word. What did we read last time? We read Leviticus 1. You remember there back there, Jeremiah, what we read? Did we read 1 through 5? Through 3. All right, I'll invite you to stand tonight, and we will read, let's take 4, 5, and 6. Amen? Let's go through 7, right? We'll go 4, 5, 6, 7. All right, maybe that'll work. Okay. And we're not covering any of it, really. We're just doing introductory stuff, but so that we can say that we've gotten some Leviticus in us, right? Leviticus 1, those of you with us online, chapter 1, beginning in verse 4, if you found it, say amen. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, right here in the middle of the books of Moses. Word of God reads in verse 4, he shall lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering, that it may be accepted for him to make atonement on his behalf. He shall slay the young bull before the Lord, and Aaron's sons, the priests, shall offer up the blood and sprinkle the blood around on the altar that is at the doorway of the tent of meeting. He shall then skin the burnt offering and cut it into its pieces. The sons of Aaron, the priests, shall put fire on the altar and arrange wood on the fire. We'll read verse 8. Then Aaron's sons, the priests, shall arrange the pieces, the head, and the suet over the wood which is on the fire that is on the altar. Go ahead, verse 9, preacher, all right. Its entrails, however, and its legs he shall wash with water, and the priest shall offer up and smoke all of it on the altar for a burnt offering, an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord. We'll end it right there. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Amen, amen. All right, all right. Well, what are we talking about tonight? We're talking about tonight what we've been talking about Wednesday night. We ended this thing talking about, ended the Bible study on Wednesday night, talking about the book of Leviticus explains, and what does it explain? Well, it explains five basic themes. We know that the major theme of Leviticus is what? Major theme. Huh? Law? Okay, that's a swing and a miss, but that's all right. Holy, that's right. Righteousness, holiness, right? Through the law. Okay, I'm with you. All right. Holiness, right? That's the big theme of the book of Leviticus. What I'm doing is kind of dissecting that theme into the five sub-themes that kind of go into that, right? So it's just kind of like an outline. You got holiness, and then you got sub-point A, sub-point B, sub-point C, sub-point D, sub-point E. 1 through 5. Amen? And so when you look at the book of Leviticus hits on holiness on five different big ideas, all right? And we started covering one last time, right? We talked about a holy God, right? The book of Leviticus explains five basic themes that relate to the life of holiness. The first one is, we serve a holy God, amen? Who created this thing? A holy God, right? Who sits over it all? A holy God, right? Who's coming back? A holy God, right? You get it, amen? Who are we going to spend an eternity with? A holy God. Making sense? Amen. A holy God. So how does God reveal his holiness? And that's kind of how we ended it. We ended it with that question. We began to try to answer that question. We said the religion of the nations in Canaan, we said, were notoriously immoral. We said that it involved worshiping idols and consorting with temple prostitutes. male and female temple prostitutes. For this reason, God commanded His people, those that were His people. He said, you stay away from all that foolishness. You stay away from that nonsense. You stay away from their altars and shrines. And you're my people. You refuse to learn their ways. Don't be learning their ways, right? Now, in many ways, God made it clear to His people that He was a holy God. Trying to answer that question that we ended on. How does God reveal His holiness? To begin with, He gave them a holy law that contained both promises and penalties, right? Of which we referred to today when we were talking about our message in Matthew. We're talking about what, preacher? The Ten Commandments, right? Promises and penalties, of which the Ten Commandments are the essence. Remember the two locations the Ten Commandments are found in? Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 6 through 21. Moses thought he needed, God thought they needed one more shot of, you talk about going and getting a booster for your COVID. One more shot of Ten Commandments, right? So they get the main one in Exodus. They get another little shot in Deuteronomy chapter 7, or chapter 5, verses 6 through 21. God's statutes, right? God's statutes and ordinances govern the daily life of the people, right? Told them what was right, told them what was wrong, told them what was clean, told them what was unclean, right? And what the penalties were for those who deliberately disobeyed. Now, we're trying to answer that question. How does God reveal His holiness? Well, first of all, through His law, right? Secondly, God revealed His holiness, praise the Lord for this one, through His presence, right? At Mount Sinai, God revealed His holy presence. Exodus chapter 20, verse 18 says, all the people perceived the thunder and the lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance. That's a good move, amen? Good move, right? Now, He also revealed His holy power and presence when He judged the gods, and this is gods with a lowercase g because they're not real, when He judged the gods of Egypt, right? Exodus chapter 12, verse 12, it says, for I will go through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods, lowercase g, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. Amen? Wow. So God revealed His holy power when He opened the Red Sea. God revealed His holy power when He opened the Red Sea and destroyed the Egyptian army there in Exodus. God revealed His holy power when He did miraculous works for Israel in the wilderness. It is said in the Bible that God is majestic in holiness. He's majestic in it. Exodus 15, 11. And His glory dwelt in the Holy of Holies, in both the tabernacle before the temple was built, per Exodus 40, verses 34 and 38, and in the temple after the temple was built, in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 10. The presence of the cloud of glory and the pillar of fire reminded Israel that Jehovah was a holy God, a consuming fire. In fact, the very structure of the tabernacle declared the holiness of God. The fence around the tent, the brazen altar where the blood was shed, the laver where the priest washed their hands and feet, and the veil that kept everybody but the high priest out of the Holy of Holies. It all spoke of what? It spoke of God's holiness. The whole sacrificial system, which points towards the person of Christ, the whole sacrificial system declared to Israel that the wages of sin is death, per Romans 6:23, and that the soul who sins will die, per Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4. Now, we know from our studies, because I try to keep this before you all the time, that God hates sin, right? loves the sinner, hates the sin. But because he loves sinners and wants to forgive them, this holy God, he provides a substitute to die in the sinner's place. All of this is a picture. All of this points to. All of this is bright neon lights. And it says none other than the promised Savior who laid down his life for the sins of the world. Now, you could never call any of the heathen deities holy. You could never call them holy. You look at their systems of worship and you look at how they got together and what they did. It was nothing but a bunch of gross yuckity yuck yuck. But the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One of Israel is one of the repeated names of Jehovah in Scripture. The Holy One of Israel. This name is used, the Holy One of Israel is used 30 times in the book of Isaiah alone. In declaration and demonstration, Jehovah made it clear to the people of Israel that he is a holy God, righteous in all his works and just in all his judgments. Right? So the book of Leviticus explains five basic themes that relate to the life of holiness. The first one is a holy God. The second one is a holy priesthood. A holy priesthood. Now, you're going to listen to this. You're going to hear this or try to listen to it. And you're going to think, I'm not a Levite. I'm not a Levite. Just hang on. Hang on. I'm going to get to where it makes sense. Right? But you got to get the intel. You got to get the background knowledge before you can have the aha moment. Amen? So hold on. Right? Don't turn me off. Right? Don't click me off in your brain and go, what am I going to do later today? Click. Don't do that. Stay with me online, people. Don't mute me. Don't mute me and pet that cat. You stay right there with me. Amen? Don't get up and give that dog a biscuit. You stay right there with me. Amen? What are we talking about? A holy priesthood. The Jewish priesthood belongs only to the tribe of who? The Levites, right. Levi, the founder of the tribe, was the third son of Jacob and Leah, Genesis chapter 29, 34. And he is the father of Gershom, Kohath, and Merari, per Genesis 46, 11. Since Kohath's son, Amram, was the father of Aaron, Moses, and Miriam, per Numbers 26, 58 through 59, Aaron, Moses, and Miriam belonged to the tribe of Levi. If you didn't know that now. Aaron was the first high priest, and his male descendants became priests, with the firstborn son in each generation inheriting the high priesthood. That's how they became the high priest. They were born into that deal. Every priest was a Levite, but not every Levite was a priest. Make sense? Every priest was a Levite, but not every Levite was a priest. The rest of the men in the tribe of Levi, which would be the Levites, were assigned to serve as assistants to the priests. All right? So the firstborn of the families were what? They were the priests. And the one that could tie his lineage all the way back to Aaron, he was the high priest, right? If you were a boy that was born second or third or fourth, you're still somebody. You're just not going to be the big uppity up. You're going to be the come on back guy, amen? You're going to be the guy carrying the wood and cleaning up the blood and making sure everything's straight in the house, amen? You're going to be the assistant to Big Bubba, right? So that's just what you're going to do, amen? That's just how it rolled. And so the Levites were the substitutes for the firstborn males in Israel, all of whom had to be dedicated to the Lord. And their dedication was quite the ceremony, right? Quite the ceremony. To facilitate their ministry, David did something. David divided the thousands of Levites into how many divisions, do you think? How many divisions? 12, that would be a good guess. Anybody else got another guess? How many divisions? He's on to something here with 12. He's on to something here with 12, but it's not quite 12. No. You want to throw one in there, Jeremiah? You look like the wheels are spinning. No, you can't half it. You got to double it. He said 12, you got to double it, go 24. Amen? 24 divisions, right? 24 divisions. So the passage is 1 Chronicles 23:6. It says, David divided them into divisions according to the sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. So each of those sons, 8 divisions apiece. 3 times 8 is what? Yeah, that's it. You good with your math. Amen. 24 divisions, all right? Now, remember we talked about the name Leviticus. Leviticus comes from Levi. It means pertaining to the Levites. Now, the book of Leviticus is about the law. It's about the sacrificing. It's about the high priest. It's about holiness. But there's only 2 verses in all of the book of Leviticus that have what in it? Only 2 verses that actually mention the Levites. Only 2 verses where the Levites are mentioned. Only 2 verses in the book, Leviticus 25, 32, and 33. They're at the end of the book. Now, however, the regulations in Levites pertain primarily to the priests, the firstborns, right? Of course, as assistants to the priests, the other brothers in birth order, the rest of the Levite men would have to know what the Lord wanted done in the ministry of his house. So God insisted that the priests be holy men, that they be holy men, that they be set apart, right, for his service and his service alone. Not only must they come from the tribe of Levi, not only must they come from the tribe of Levi, but also they must not have any physical defects or marry women whom God disapproved, right? You're going to be a Levite? You're going to be a firstborn priest? You're going to marry from Jewish stock. You know, you're not going outside the Jewish deal. Now, they were set apart in an elaborate ceremony that involved their being bathed in water and marked by oil and blood per chapter 8, okay? The high priest was anointed with special oil. The priests wore special garments and special laws that didn't apply to the common people, governed their lives. In every way, the priests demonstrated the fact that they were set apart and therefore holy to the Lord. Make sense? Amen? So the Levites were in charge of the sanctuary. And during the wilderness years of Israel's wanderings, right, God brings them up to the entrance of the promised land, and that generation says, I'm going to pass, right? And so they wander for how many years? We talked about it this morning. 40 years, right? And God loved them enough, gave them enough grace, allowed them to all die off and bring up another generation that God desired them to love him the way their parents would not love him, right? These Levites were in charge of that sanctuary during this wilderness years of Israel's wanderings, and they carried that tent. They packed it up. They unpacked it. When they would stop, they'd pack it. They'd unpack that thing and get it straight and get it right and get it all measured out and get it done. Oh, it's time to move. They would put it all back, put it back together, haul it, move it. Just any old way? Uh-uh. No. No, it went a certain way, right? They moved it a certain way. They set it up a certain way, and these guys followed it to the letter. Amen? From place to place, they carried the furnishings. From place to place, they set it up. From place to place, they did it to a T. They were also responsible to guard God's sanctuary. They were also responsible to teach the people the law. They were also responsible to lead the worshipers in praising God. Only a holy priesthood, only a holy priesthood could approach God's altar and be acceptable to serve God. Now, if the priests were not dressed properly, they kind of got lax in their duties. If they did not wash properly, you know, man, I got to get cleaned up every time I go in here. It just takes a while. I don't know if I'm doing it today. You know, if they got lax in their washing, if they tried to serve while unclean, they've done something and they haven't gone to the Lord for repentance and confession, they were in danger of death. Oh, by the Leviticus police preacher? No, by God himself. They were in danger of death. If the Levites were careless with the tabernacle furnishings, then they too might die. The high priest wore a golden plate at the front of his turban on which was the inscription, right here up on his turban, right? The inscription said, "Holiness to the Lord," right? Holiness to the Lord. And he dared not do anything that would violate that inscription as he's serving, right? He could be serving in the Holy of Holies, in the tabernacle, and still be in danger of death. Friend, that's why they put bells on his, right? Bells on his clothes and tied a rope around his waist. Because if he dropped dead, I ain't going in there. If he dropped dead, I'm not going in there. I'm not. He's the high priest. I'm not. Only the high priest goes in there. I'm not going. Well, how are we getting him out? He's dead. We better put a rope on him. That's what they did, man. They put a rope on him. So as long as they're hearing the bells and they seeing the rope move, praise the Lord. He's living right. Holy priest is doing what he's supposed to do. Boy, high priest gets out of line, not doing what he's supposed to, goes in there at the mercy seat, the very presence of God. I don't hear the bells. I don't see the rope moving. All right, tug, tug. Next man up. Amen? Yeah, serious business. Serious business, right? Now, he could be serving the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle and still be in danger of death. Leviticus 16:3 says, Aaron shall enter the holy place with this, with a bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. Every time the guy went in there, he took his own offerings, not for the people. The offerings he went in were the offerings for him so that he would be clean and covered, right, while he did work for the people. Make sense? Amen? Yes, yes? Leviticus 16:3. Every true believer. Now, I told you to hold on till we get to the good part. Here's the good part. And you think about this as we cover this. Really think about this. Every true believer in Jesus Christ, every true believer in Jesus Christ is a priest of God. That's a place to say amen. You've got privileges. You get privileges of offering spiritual sacrifices. How do you offer the spiritual sacrifices? You offer the spiritual sacrifices through Jesus Christ. How in the world does that happen? 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 and verse 9. I'll give it to you. It says this, 1 Peter 2, verses 5 and 9. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Did you get that point about through Jesus Christ? Yeah. How are we saved? Through faith in Christ. Amen? Through faith in Christ. Did you get it? Yeah, how are we saved, right? Through faith in Christ. How are we washed? The blood of Christ. Through the blood of Christ. How are we clothed in His righteousness? Oh, it's a Jesus thing again, right? How about anointed by the Spirit? How are we given access into His presence? I'll give you a few verses to maybe make sense of all this. In the Old Testament, God's people had a priesthood, but in the New Testament, God's people are a priesthood. Revelation 1:6. Through faith in Christ, we've been washed. Through faith in Christ, we've been clothed in His righteousness, anointed by the Spirit, and given access into His presence. First of all, we have been washed. We've been washed. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you. But this is what Paul writes to the church at Corinth. But you were washed. But you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. So through faith in Christ, we've been washed. But not only have we been washed, but we've been clothed in righteousness. Talking to the Corinthians. Now we're in 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Just read to you 1 Corinthians 6:9 through 11. Now we're in 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. The righteousness of God in Him. Amen. Do you get that? Yes, yes? And not only are we what? We've been washed, we've been clothed in His righteousness, but we've also been anointed by His Spirit. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 now. We're in 1 John. We've been in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Now we're looking at 1 John. Two verses in 1 John. First one, 1 John 2:20. The Word of God reads, But you have an anointing from the Holy One. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. Amen. I think you know if you know. If you got the Holy Spirit, you know. You all know. Amen? Yeah, you all know. Right? 1 John 2:20. 1 John 2:27 says, As for you, the anointing which you receive from Him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as His anointing teaches you about all things, and is true, and is not, oh my goodness, I lost my place. I had a spitter fall from the ceiling, and he landed here on the pulpit, and I had to kill him. Why'd you have to kill him, preacher? Because he was going for me. Amen. All right, 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. Let's do a rewind here. As for you, the anointing which you receive from Him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as His anointing teaches you about all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in Him. Right? And then finally, right, you've been anointed by the Spirit. Finally, you've been given access into His presence. Hebrews 10:19 through 20 says, Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, what did the high priest have to bring in? A bull and a ram every time he went in. A bull and a ram. They had to kill a bull and a ram for him every time. Every time. Well, I got to go into the Holy of Holies. Bring me that bull. Bring me that ram. Okay. They'd bring it. He'd take the knife, put his hand on the head, slit the throat. Thing would start to bleed out. Boom, fall down, bring me the ram. They bring in the ram, put his hand on the head, take the knife, cut the throat, thing starts to bleed out, boom, hits the deck, right? He gets the blood in it. I'm going in. He's got the rope around him and the bells on his clothes, right? We don't have to do that no more, right? We don't have to do that no more. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter, we have confidence to enter. The high priest, you know what? I'm kind of being a little flirtatious with that girl at the market. Oh, man, you better bring me two bulls and two rams. Yeah, I've been having some impure thoughts. Hey, you better bring me three bulls and three rams. I'm not so sure I'm going in there today. Right? But what does this Bible tell us? This Bible says, Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter, the holy place. What's the difference? The difference is he was dealing with the blood of bulls and rams. The difference we have, we're covered by the... There you go, right. That's the difference. That's why you can have confidence. Amen? You say, well, preacher, I'm a sinner. Hey, man, get in line and pull a ticket. We all hear sinners, right? The good news is we're saved sinners. Amen? And we can't be perfectly holy. Remember the greased pig analogy? You weren't here Wednesday night. We were talking about a greased pig, weren't we, Wednesday night? Yeah. Holiness is like trying to catch a greased pig, right? About the time you catch him, you think you got him, he's done squeezed at your arms, right? You catch that greased pig, you get all proud. Look at me, I got the greased pig. Look at me, I'm all holy. About the time you think your holy pride sits in, and boom, there goes the pig. Amen, amen? Yeah. So, we don't have confidence because we're perfect when we enter in our prayer times with the Lord. That's not why we have confidence, because we're perfect. We don't have confidence because we've had a good day and we've only committed 3 sins instead of 23 sins. That's not why we're confident. We're confident because of His blood. That's why we're confident, amen? Because we don't have to daily put the head on the whatever and take the knife and with great vigor and strength, we don't have to cut the jugular in the throat and watch that thing drop and bleed out. We don't have to do that. Amen? Because He went on the cross and bled out for us. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He inaugurated for us through the veil, that is His flesh. Amen? Friend, we get right past the veil. Nobody has to put a rope on us. Don't need the bells because of the blood. Hallelujah. Amen? Well, I hope you'll come back on Wednesday night, Frank. We'll do it again. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Thank you, online folks. Have a good week. I'll see you Wednesday night. We'll be back in Leviticus. We'll close out this priesthood and we'll get on to the next one, all right? I've got Holy God, Holy Priesthood. I got 3 more. All right, after priests. All right, we'll get through them. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank You for tonight. We thank You, Lord, for what we have in Christ. We thank You for what the blood represents. We thank You for this Old Testament system of sacrifices and how it points and looks towards You, God, and how it just it screams Jesus each and every page. It points to the great Redeemer. Lord, there's the scarlet thread of redemption that flows all through the Word of God. And we're thankful that we can hit on those high points tonight and talk about holiness tonight. Lord, we know we can't be perfectly holy, but we know we need to be seeking to be more holy. So, Lord, help us be more this week, more than what we were last week, not so that we can, in pride, say we're more holy than anybody else. We don't want to lose the pig when we get it. But, Lord, help us. Help us put forth the effort, not earning our salvation. Help us put forth the effort out of love and devotion to You so that we look different, so that we actually look set apart, so that people look at us and say, that one's not like the rest of them. And that's right. We're not like the rest of them. We are to be different. So, Lord, help us be different and help us bring people along and point people towards the cross of Christ. We love You tonight. We praise You tonight. Thank You for loving us. It's in Your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, you folks are dismissed. Dismissed? Yeah, let's dismiss. All right, onliners, we'll see you. Hasta la whiskers. All right, all right.